Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Claire Daniels.
You know, last week I had real revelation of why we're going to get new bodies in heaven. I guess some of you were the same really, but I just felt like while Pastor Paul was preaching, which is great because I get this week, it was like it was going to burst. It was like I couldn't contain what God was doing. And I realized, you know, God needs to expand us to be able to hold and to contain what he's pouring out. Because if he doesn't, it's kind of like we want to just burst all the time. I don't know how many other people felt like that. But when we get to heaven, we're going to have bodies that contain the full glory of God, which is going to be great. We won't be restricted by this, will we? About 6 months ago, I think God gave me this message. So I just, a little bit of it. And then God, being the kind, wonderful God that he is, 6 weeks ago said, prepare that message. So I did about 3 pages, just brainstormed some stuff, and then thought, Pastor Paul is not going to ask me to preach, and certainly not for a long, long time. So I just put it aside. Then on Tuesday, God knew I had a busy week this week. On Tuesday, can you preach on Sunday? Like, okay, first lesson, be obedient in the whole thing, not just a little bit, because God does actually know. God has really spoken to me, sort of maybe most of last year, about how as a church, he wants to release that real creative spirit in us. Because we're going to be a church that is going beyond the walls. So the move he's going to bring is more than a building can contain. It's more than anything that we've done before. It's more than the models we see around can contain. And we need to be a creative church. We need to be a creative people. Yes. And he wants to release that. I was always one of those people who said I wasn't creative. Not creative, can't do creation, don't do creativity at all. The reason for that was because I cannot draw at all. I cannot do anything that is vaguely artistic. If you ever want to play a game of Pictionary, don't invite me. If you do invite me, put me on the other team. I'm not sure how long ago it was. I think Chris was possibly there, possibly in my team. I had to draw an aeroplane. I don't know how long you get in Pictionary. I've avoided it ever since. Nobody guessed at all. Got to the end of it, and everyone, it was a plane. I think I was trying to draw some sort of Concorde shape thing. I don't know what I was doing, but it was one of those, you know, embarrassing experiences that I just don't do. And on Wednesday, actually in school, in Joel's class, this girl came up to me and said, can you draw a Christmas tree? Okay, I'm an adult. She's 5. It won't matter. So I drew this kind of thing that looked vaguely Christmas tree-like. Then this other 5-year-old came and said, can you draw me a Christmas tree? And showed me the one that she had just drawn. That's what a Christmas tree looks like. That's how you draw one. Which was not good. It was really good, the one that she had drawn, so I just copied it. When she was 4, Hannah tried to give me art lessons. So that is how bad I am. So I always kind of put the creative thing into this box of arty type things. And I guess it's very easy to do that. But actually, God is wanting to do something new in us. He's wanting to release creativity in everything we do. Everything, every single part of our lives. He wants to release creativity, that we will be people that manage our homes creatively, that discipline our children creatively. Every activity we do, although probably filling in your tax returns creatively isn't such a good idea. And children are very good at being creative when it comes, well, mine are very creative at when they've done something wrong. They think very quickly of a way around it and why they've done it and that it wasn't really wrong. If you want to turn to 2 Chronicles 9, we're going to look at the Queen of Sheba. Well, we're going to look at Solomon, actually. You know, we're made in the image of God, aren't we? And how creative is God? You know, he is the ultimate, isn't he? And we are made in his image. When we get that revelation that we are made in the image of God, that is going to do something so amazing in us. We know it. We all know we're made in the image of God. But do we really know that we're made in the image of God? You know, the one that's stood at creation and spoke, and what we see came to be, that all the little things, the unseen things that only in this generation have been discovered, that are so excessively beautiful. Oh, why? They weren't going to be seen for thousands of years. Why, God, did you put all that effort in? He is that creative, and you are made in his image. The beginning of 2 Chronicles chapter 9. This, I'm reading in the message, actually, but you should be able to follow fairly well. The Queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's reputation and came to Jerusalem to put his reputation to the test, asking all the tough questions. She made a showy entrance, an impressive retinue of attendants and camels loaded with perfume and much gold and precious stones. She emptied her heart to Solomon, talking over everything she cared about. And Solomon answered everything she put to him. Nothing stumped him. Okay, Solomon was a man of wisdom. We know that. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? That she came, the world came to Solomon and asked questions. And he had such wisdom that he gave her all the answers. But then she's finished her meeting with him and she goes for a little walk around the palace. She has a meal with him. She stays in the palace. And it says, when the Queen of Sheba experienced for herself Solomon's wisdom and saw with her own eyes the palace he had built, the meals that were served, the impressive array of court officials and the sharply dressed waiters, I think that was cupbearers in, and then the elaborate worship, extravagant with the burnt offerings at the temple of God. It all took her breath away. She said to the king, it's true, your reputation for accomplishment and wisdom that reached all the way to my country is confirmed. I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it for myself. They didn't exaggerate such wisdom and elegance far more than I could ever have imagined. Lucky the men and women who work for you, getting to be around you every day and hear your wise words firsthand. Creativity has got to partner with wisdom, because wisdom without creativity can be very legalistic and can be boring, really. But wisdom, but creativity without wisdom, we see much of that in the world, don't we? And it can be destructive and not glorifying to God. So we need the two together. But don't you think that is amazing that she saw the creativity and the wisdom of Solomon in the way that he managed his household, in the way the servants were, in the way the meals were provided? And doesn't that just give us the real encouragement that actually we can be creative and wise just in our everyday lives? And that's what I want us to get hold of today, is that creativity needs to permeate every part of our lives. Because the Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon and see that wisdom because it had reached to Sheba, you know, a long way away. Word had reached that Solomon was so creative, he was so wise, that this amazing stuff was going on. And we need people to come to us, the world will come to us and see the wisdom and the creativity that we have and say, wow, you have got something that we need. You know, we've heard it said before, and it's true. As Christians, the church need to be the ones making the best TV programs, the best films, need to be writing the best books, need to be leading the way, need to be the ones that have the answers. You know, the world is in crisis. Where are they going to get answers from? All they've got is the world to turn to, and it's not giving them the answers. As church, we have to rise up. We have to be the ones that bring the creativity and the wisdom together of heaven and see those answers released in our generation, released in the world right now. We need, you know, it's been happening with Pastor Paul, hasn't it? But each one of us, we need people coming to us, the authorities coming to us. I had a word a while back about mums at the school gates, and that was a bit like sort of the gates of the city, and you know, the elders used to sit at the gates and people would come to ask for their wisdom, and that was in a sort of smaller way at the schools. As Christian mums and dads, that people will come, we need to be there, and people will come and ask for wisdom, will come and ask for answers to the things that are going on in their lives. And we need to be there, ready to give that. I mean, we know God is so creative. Obviously, it is one of his most amazing attributes. And I can just see it, creation. He's laughing, he's enjoying it. It's, creating the world was something he enjoyed. It wasn't something he just did because he felt like it, because he was bored one day. He did it because he had a dream. He did it because he loved it. He had fun. You know, our lives are to be fun. Our lives are to be creative at every single point. Living a life just doing the same thing over and over again, the same way, is not exciting. It's not going to make people look at us and say, I want what you have got. It's not. But when we live our lives letting God just bring his ideas, bring his creativity, letting that flow through us, people are going to be amazed. The world, most people live very mundane lives. If we are living mundane lives, we need to ask God what is going on, because we should not be living mundane lives. If your life is mundane today, God is going to change it. He is going to change it. He's going to release a new and fresh creativity. And because he has a dream for your life. He has a dream since before creation for your life and for my life. And sometimes you think, well, I've messed up that dream so many times. And, you know, I believe right now that Chris and I are in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. But if we had taken some different decisions, which in hindsight would probably have been the right decisions 13 years ago, would we still be here? I actually believe that we would, and God would have taken us a different route. God is so creative that he takes us where we are, and he sort of works us round until we get to the place that he wants us to be. Because he has a dream, and that dream will be fulfilled unless we refuse to fulfill it, unless we refuse to dream the dreams that he's got. And it's hard. When your dreams have been shattered, it is hard to get up again and keep walking. It is hard. I know it's hard. But sometimes, I read something really good this week, actually, about shattered dreams. They might be shattered. They might be disappointed. They might have failed in earthly terms. But often, our failed dreams are the platform for someone else's success. Yes. And that, I just think that's fantastic. That whatever dream you feel you've had to walk away from and that has failed, that will be the platform for someone else's success. And in heaven, you will be credited with fulfillment of that dream, not with failure of that dream, because somebody else has used it as a platform. Nothing is a failure as long as we get up, keep walking, and keep moving forward, and keep trusting God. I just want to give some keys, really, for how to do that. I like doing practical, really. So we're going to look at just 6 keys of how to release that creative anointing in our lives. And it's going to be very exciting, because we're going to become the most creative bunch of people that anybody has seen. And we are going to just amaze the world. We are going to amaze Scarborough with the creativity that is flowing from us. Yes, we're going to. So the first key is that we need to recognize that our walk with God, both personally and corporately, is unique and cannot be replicated from another person or church. It is good to receive from other moves of God, and it's important to receive from other moves of God, but, and this is something we do well as a church because we have leadership that do this, we need to remember that God has a unique walk and a unique plan for us as a church, and we cannot replicate what has happened somewhere else just because it worked there. That's when things fail. Jesus didn't even replicate the way that he communicated with people very often. He didn't replicate the way he did miracles very often. He was every situation, every person, every town he went to, he treated individually. The creativity that comes, if you just look at the variety of the way he worked with people, the way he talked to people, the miracles he did, is incredible. We cannot say, right, this is, that worked there, so we are going to do this here and it's going to work. It won't, because we have to hear God for ourselves corporately, but also individually. Our relationship with God will not look like anybody else's. And that's set me free so much, because there are so many books about how to pray, how to have your time with God. And if you read too many of those, you're going to get your head really mixed up. And I think I got to the point where eventually I would just sit there thinking, I don't know what to do. Or feeling like if I hadn't done A, B, C, and D, then I hadn't had a proper time with God. And it's so easy to fall into that. And at one point, God just sort of released me just to be really creative, which was a really odd thing for me. And I look back at it now, and I sort of got this book, and I did lots of quite creative for me things in it. It was a really rich season, actually, just doing something different. And now, sometimes I could just sit down at the piano and just worship, and I've really met with God. Oh, I didn't sit down and read my verse for the day and then do my A, B, C, D. You know, It's going to be different. And I used to, the temptation is with people that you really respect, people that you know have got a really wonderful walk with God. I always want to ask them how they spend their time with God, because I kind of think, well, God meets with them in that way, so I want to do it. But I've had to learn to resist that temptation, because actually it won't work for me, because God relates to me in a completely unique way, and he relates to you in a totally unique way. And it's okay if it doesn't look like somebody else's. It's okay. And we need to be released in that. We need to be free. We need to be creative in our times with God. So what if it's different every day? Don't do the same thing every day. If you've been doing the same thing every day for the last 20 years, go and do something different. You'll find God will speak to you in a totally new way. In fact, this week, try and do something different every day, relate to a different way every day. I tell you, when I do that, it's amazing. I just get fresh revelation and just see, it kicks out that religious spirit, which is the next key, is that we need to kick it out, because a religious spirit is totally contrary to a creative spirit. It opposes it. Religion will put formulas and methods in place and tell you that you need to do this in order to get this result. And there is no room for creativity within that. And that's why much of the church, the creativity is gone, because the religious spirit has got such a hold, and we don't want that. And it's so easy for it to just come in little ways, isn't it? And we need to be so aware of it, and so aware that we need to let God be showing us daily. Our walk with God is a daily walk. And He very rarely does things the same way twice. I think for two reasons. One, because he's creative and he likes doing things differently. And that gives him pleasure to do things differently. But the other reason is because he knows how prone we are to making formulas out of successes. He knows how prone we are that if God does something in my life this way, right, that worked. So now the next person, I know how God's going to set you free from this because he's done it this way. And I don't know about you, he probably does it more with me because I'm prone to that. But often we don't remember quite how God's done something. And when I was at university, my first year, I had a bit of a reputation for it, actually, which in hindsight is not good. But I was quite cynical, and I really struggled with whether God loved me. I just couldn't get a breakthrough on it at all. When I was 16, I'd said to God, I will serve you even if I never know, really experientially know that you love me. But it was such a battle for me. And when I was 19, I was sitting in my university room one day. All I can describe it really as is Jesus walked into the room, poured out this incredible revelation of his love and his grace, from which that day I've never, ever, ever questioned his love once. Such was all my friends were like, oh, she believes God loves her. She believes in God's grace. What's going on here? It was incredible. But a day or two after that, I couldn't remember what God had done at all. All I know is that Jesus walked into that room and it happened. I have got no clue what happened. It's like he erased that bit from my memory so that I didn't go praying for people or saying the same thing to people. God will do it this way because he did it for me. And because he wants to do things differently every time. There are patterns. Obviously, there are things that will be the same. There are principles. But within those principles, he wants to work creatively. Within those principles, he wants to work according to that situation, to that person. The Holy Spirit is the most creative Holy Spirit. And if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we are going to be incredibly creative. The next one, number three, which is just a really important one, I believe, for this morning, and that God wants to just really set some people free, is that we need to learn to imagine and to dream again. God's a dreamer. You know, your very existence, my existence, is a result of a dream that God had. He dreamed of a bride who would become one with him. He dreamed of one who would love with a pure love, who would be intimate with him, who would share his secrets. He dreamed of a bride who would choose him above all others, who would cherish him just as he would cherish her. That's his dream. But he says, what's yours? What's your dream? He's looking for people that are going to dream his dreams with him. He's looking for people that he can impart dreams to. He's looking for people who will have their own dreams. And sometimes we can get a bit caught up with, oh, what if it's God's will? What if it's, you know, what if it's God's dream? What if it's just my dream? And that's fair enough. We don't want our own dream, but actually, whoever we're fellowshipping it with, whatever we're spending our time on, wherever we're focusing, that will be where our dreams come from. So if we don't spend any time with God and we're just sitting around watching the television, we're probably not going to have a lot of, you know, of God's dreams. But if we are spending time with Him and our focus is on Him and our desire is on Him, we don't need to fear whether our dreams are of Him or not. They will be. In John 16, he says, and I can never find it in the Amplified. I don't know why I bought this one. And at that time, you will ask in my name. It's scripture that says, you will ask in my name, I will give you whatever you ask for. Whatever you ask for. Not whatever I tell you to ask me for. Whatever you ask for. He wants to fulfill our dreams. He wants to give us the desires of our hearts. He wants, if we're fellowshipping with Him, He wants to hear what is on our hearts. He wants to hear the dreams of our hearts. He wants to hear those desires. And He wants to act on them. He wants to give them to us. He's not holding them back saying, oh, just wait till she comes right in line with me or until she does. Just waiting for us to say, God, this is my dream. This is what I want to see happen. And then He says, right, we can do this. Then He gives us the strategies to do it. And then we've got to be obedient and we've got to do something on it. We can't just have the dream and never do anything. But we've got to start with that dream. And, you know, I just see so many people that just wander through life without a dream. There's so many people that just don't have a dream, feeling that nothing really good can happen to me. Nothing really good is going to happen that's going to last. And believers as well. And it makes it painful. When we've had shattered dreams, it is painful, isn't it? But we're never going to go anywhere. I love that bit at the beginning of Church News, was it, let's say, when Kate and Dan are up there and said, go do something amazing. We are not going to do anything amazing if we don't have a dream. We're not. We're just going to be sitting here going through the motions day after day, wondering if anything's going to be different in a year's time. But it is, because we are a church that is moving forward. We are a church with a dream. We've got a corporate dream, haven't we? We all know what that dream is. And we're all, you know, we know that our dream is to see Scarborough established as a beachhead and see Yorkshire and the nation and the nations impacted for the gospel. That is our corporate dream. But within that, there will be personal dreams. In order to fulfill that, we've all got a different role, but we have to have those dreams. We have to be fully committed to that corporate dream. Be dreaming about it. You know, just sit and dream about what it's going to be like. Don't sit and think about the negative things. Just spend your time dreaming, because it will start to burn in your heart. And when that dream burns in our heart, creativity springs up in order to fulfill that dream, doesn't it? And the other thing that God wants to restore to us is our imagination. That's been something that I believe the enemy has stolen from so many people in the church. It's such a precious gift from God, our imagination. But it's an area that the enemy has sought to warp, to destroy. And where our imagination has been used in the wrong way, we can then become fearful that if we use it, that it just becomes that scary thing. Let's just put it over there. I'm not going to imagine anything, because it might go down the wrong path, not the right path. But I believe today God wants to restore the ability to imagine and the freedom to imagine, because we need the dreaming and the imagining. They're kind of the same thing, aren't they? But when you're daydreaming, daydream, revival, daydream, amazing things. Because as you daydream them, as you imagine it, God can do more. If He says, I can do more, I will do more than you can ask or imagine. If we're not imagining anything, he can't really do more than that, can he? So if you want to see big things happening, you've got to imagine big, because then God is bound by His word to do more than that. How cool is that? So start imagining very, very big. But we need to get rid of the fear of imagination, and we need to revive it so it's no longer dormant. I believe it's become dormant in many of our lives, and we need to start utilizing it for the purposes of God and redeem those dreams, redeem our imagination for His purposes, and determine not to continue in the misuse of our imagination. That's where take every thought captive, really, really comes in. But God wants us to be a dreaming, imagining church, because then he can release amazing creativity amongst us. The fourth thing is that God, to have the revelation that God wants us to express our creativity. He loves our personalities. Dave Gilpin talked a bit about this when he was here. But God has comes to change our character, not our personalities. We spend a bit of too much time sometimes in the name of crucifying the flesh, trying to change our personalities. But he doesn't want that. I quite like the way Bill Johnson puts this. He says, you know, God doesn't want less of us. He had that before we were saved and didn't like it. He wants all of us, and he puts it, he wants all of us covered by all of him, which I think is fantastic. So all of our God-given personality covered by all of his character, kind of how I was thinking about it. And we don't want to crucify the new creation. We're supposed to crucify the old man, not the new man. What God has put in you, don't start crucifying that. It can be, we can get the two mixed up sometimes, but what God has put in you, what are his desires, what are his purposes for you, what are his dreams, the personality that he's given you, which isn't like anybody else's, don't try and crucify that. It's the old things, it's the old man, it's the things in our character that God wants to change. You know, our whole DNA is creative. You know, God is so looking for a bride that will express that creativity. What was Adam's first job? It was to name all the animals. God has restored to us the authority that he gave Adam. What creativity for those animals to walk past and for Adam to name them according to what he saw. I mean, incredible wisdom and amazing creativity, I think, for Adam to do that. So if God has restored our authority to Adam, it's the way it was for Adam, then therefore he has restored that level of creativity. We have that in our DNA. We have that in our spiritual DNA to be that creative. And we've got to start believing that we can be. And no more saying, oh, I'm not really creative. I'm not a very creative person. You are creative. If you're born again, you're creative because it is in your DNA to be creative. There are some things that aren't God's job to do. It wasn't God's job to name the animals. He handed that over. And he hands things over to us. The fifth one is another thing we need to kick out, fear, anxiety, and false humility. It's easy then, right? Number six. Okay, not quite so easy, but fear and anxiety will shut down the ability to be creative, because all the time you're worried about whether you're getting it right or not. I used to really struggle when I was teaching music teaching, I used to struggle teaching adults. Teaching children that wanted to practice was fine, but teaching adults was such a struggle because they wanted to get it right all the time. And so they'd play a few notes, it's wrong, I'm not very good at this, I'm back to... Whereas kids would just play it and not really notice whether they got it wrong or not. But with those children, you could actually nurture the creativity. You could nurture the musicality, you could nurture all sorts of things. But with the adults, it was so hard. Just say, don't worry if you get it wrong. You want to be musical about this, not correct. Even the things we consider creative can be very uncreative, can't they? Music played uncreatively can be very boring. Jackie and I were at Burton Agnes a while back, and Jackie was talking about light and life in paintings, and I never really thought about it, because given my ability at that sort of thing, it's not something I think about. And it's not something I notice. I kind of know if I like something or not, but not why. And we went and we looked around on the bus there. They had a group had done some art. And for the first time, I saw what she meant because she'd explained it to me. And I could see that actually a lot of those paintings were very uncreative. They were very good paintings, very accurate, but there was no life in them. There was no real light in them. And actually that's what we need, isn't it? We need that. So we can do creative things, what the world terms creative things, but actually there can be no creativity in them. So it doesn't matter what we do, it's the creativity that comes out of it. But yeah, fear, the fear of getting it wrong will stop you from being creative. So we need to deal with that fear of getting things wrong, which is never easy, is it? We need to deal with the anxiety that comes over whether we're doing something right, the anxiety that comes over whether somebody is going to like us. If we're going to be creative, actually people are going to misunderstand us. That goes with the territory. So if we've got a lot of fear of man in there, if we've got the anxiety, then we're not going to have the release of that creativity. And God is wanting to deal with that. Fear causes us to revert to what is familiar and safe, whereas creativity requires us to launch out into the unknown and the exciting. So if you just want to sit where it's familiar and safe and not try anything, your life's not going to be exciting and creative. But we have to take risks. Creativity, intrinsic to it, is taking risk. And I really believe that as God continues to heal emotional pain, depression, anxiety, an amazing release of creativity will come from us. And I mean, I have seen that just in the last few weeks for myself, just over the last past year, and especially in the last few weeks, God has done incredible healing work in my life. And I am now beginning to see a release of creativity in areas that I'd previously struggled with because I couldn't quite get the breakthrough. And I realize now that actually as God has healed me and got me to that place of real 100% freedom, I'm now able to be creative. And that's amazing. And that's just a real testimony that actually if we will walk into that place of complete healing and let God deal with the stuff and the fear, with the anxiety, with all the stuff that goes with it, then we are going to be released in a way that we've never experienced before. And the other thing that will restrict creativity is false humility. And our nation struggles with it generally, don't we? That sometimes it can be seen as arrogance to have confidence and to think that we're good at stuff. And actually to step out and be creative risks the world thinking that we're being arrogant, or risks, you know, people thinking strange things of us. But that false humility will shut us down, and it has shut us down. It's shut the church down. It's easy just to keep back and say, no, I'm not really very creative. They're better than me. I'm not. And actually that's false humility is a form of pride, isn't it? And it's such a tragedy because creativeness and creativity is one of our greatest gifts from God. And for it to be shut down because we don't think that we're good enough, we don't think that we're worthy, we don't think that God could possibly work through us and flow through us in a creative way, is actually disagreeing with God, which is pride. And we don't get a release of grace on our life when we talk like that. We cannot afford to go there. We have to say, God, I am going to agree with what you say. I am going to agree that you have made me creative. I'm going to agree that in my new life, I am creative. My DNA is creative, and that everything I do, everything, whether it's something artistic that, you know, we consider creative, or whether it's in business, whether it's in the home, that everything I do, Lord, I can have your creativity. And we've got to just be confident in that. And the last thing is that we need to get it from heaven. If we've got a kingdom mindset, which we do, don't we? We all have a kingdom mindset, not a worldly mindset. A kingdom mindset will see a need and not panic. If we're looking around, seeing needs and having a bit of a panic about it, oh, what's going to happen? Then that's not a kingdom mindset. A kingdom mindset sees a need and knows that God has a solution, and knows, and even more so now, that we have access to the treasuries, because we've been told that we have access to the treasuries. Okay, we're gatekeepers, we have the keys to the treasury, so we have access to that. Therefore, we can and we will seek him for the answers. So as we look at the needs around us, we do not need to think, oh God, what are you going to do? That's not our response. Our response is, God, you have a solution, and now my privilege is to find that key. My privilege is to seek that answer and to get that answer and to release it into the world. Dr. James said over us, our mandate's to be an access point for the manifest presence of God. So we access the wisdom and the creative solutions from heaven, and we enable the world to access them through us, and they will see the glory of God through that. But how do we do it? Praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues is just such a powerful thing, this, because we don't know what we're praying unless God gives us the interpretation. So we are praying the perfect will of God. And I've had loads of testimonies as people have sought to just pray in tongues for a sustained amount of time each day over something, the release of creativity and wisdom and solutions that otherwise they would never have come up with has been extraordinary. And so praying in the Spirit is a real key for that. And soaking in His presence. Just be with God. If we are with God and if we've created that access point and we are touching heaven and heaven has what we are looking for, we're going there to get it. So we're going to get it. We are going to get it. We are going to get those solutions. We are going to get that revelation because heaven has every solution. The world can only turn to the world, but we can get them direct from heaven. And that is the call on our life, is to get those answers from heaven and to release them into the world. Can we just turn to Zechariah chapter 1? This is amazing. You'll like this. Well, hopefully you'll like it. And verses 18 to 21. It's Malachi's the end, and Zechariah's one back of the Old Testament. That is, not the whole Bible, if you're looking for it. And this is Zechariah speaking. Then I lifted up my eyes, and I saw four horns, which are symbols of power. And I said to the angel who talked with me, "What are these?" And he answered me, "These are the horns or powers which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem." Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen. And I said, "What are these craftsmen coming to do?" And he said, "These are the horns or powers that scattered Judah so that no man lifted his head. But these craftsmen have come to terrorize them and cause them to be panic-stricken, to cast out the horns or powers of the nations who lifted up their horn against the land of Judah." God sent craftsmen to terrorize the enemy. Satan's got no creative ability. We know that. He can only distort what God creates. So when we move into our creativity, when we move into that, we are going to terrorize the enemy because he cannot stand against it. He doesn't know what to do with it. If we are creating, he hasn't got a clue because he can't do anything with that. All he can do is distort what has already been created. And I just think that's going to be awesome. When we, the body of Christ, walks in the fullness of the creativity that God gives us, we are going to terrify the enemy. He will be beaten back. He will be destroyed because it's a realm that he's got no idea about. It's a realm that he's never been able to access because he's never been able to create. So I think that's a very cool new strategy to attack the enemy. Rise up in your creativity and see what happens. See how the enemy begins to be defeated in your life. What's the worst that can happen? You're going to have a great time. And the best is the enemy is going to be defeated. Whatever God has put before you right now, we're making that determination that we'll let God work through us. We will be creative. We'll hold that creativity and we'll hold the wisdom together. We must hold the two together. We mustn't just release creativity without asking God for the wisdom because that can become a negative thing, it can become destructive. But the two things together, we will see the power of God moving through us in ways that we have not yet encountered and not yet experienced. And, you know, when God first started speaking to me about this, I said, "But God, this is the most creative church I've been in. There is a real creative anointing on this church." But it's almost the same as when Pastor Colin came up and spoke about honor. A lot of us thought, "But God, this is the most honouring church we've ever been in." You know, God is taking the things that are already there, that we've already got, and he's taking us to a new level in them so that we're not just walking in them, we are really walking in them. And there is a creative anointing on us as a church, but we're going to go. I believe God wants to release a fresh anointing on us that is going to take us beyond where we've been. We can't be intimidated by people that we consider to be creative and think, "I'm not creative because I can see how creative they are." That thinking needs to be kicked out. We are all creative. We have different arenas in which we show and demonstrate that creativity, and some will be seen more than others will be. But we are all creative. And the moment that we start thinking, oh, they're so creative, I couldn't ever do anything because they're so good at being creative, it shut down that in your life, the work of the Holy Spirit in your life in that area. So there may be some repentance that we need to do. If we've been thinking like that, if we've spoken like that, we need to recognize that actually creativity will cost. There is a cost to it before we all launch in excitedly. There is a cost, isn't there? There's a cost in time. Actually, when you want to do something creatively and you want to do something excellently, there is a cost. In reputation, we have to not care about our reputation. Jesus didn't care about his reputation when he started spitting on the ground and spitting in people's eyes and, you know, all the rest of it. He had to not care about his reputation. But because that was what God was saying at the time, he did it. It will cost him money. It will cost him all sorts of things. It will cost him really seeking God and soaking in his presence, in being determined. It will cost him having to stand up against the enemy and that religious spirit that so often tries to just cling on and say, no, 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 just do it this way. That's a nice way to do it. That's the best way to do it. We have to stand up against that. We have to recognize it and fight it. But recognize that God loves it. When we pay that price for it, when we release that creativity, God is going, yes, that is what I made them for. That's what I made him for. That's what I made her for. She's actually walking in the dreams that I've given him or her. And isn't it worth it to hear, you know, God's just satisfaction with that and God's pleasure? So I believe God wants to release that anointing, and we need to repent, and maybe we'll do that in a moment. But I also believe that today God wants to restore dreams and the hope to dream again for dreams that have been shattered, that have been disappointed, and to get up again and walk, to get up again and say, no, God, I'm going to take hold of that dream once more. I'm going to get up. I'm going to start walking towards it, and I'm not going to fear what has happened in the past. I'm not going to fear any longer. And of course, to release our imagination in a way that is glorifying to him once again. And we need to deal with the fear and anxiety that has held us back so that that creative potential can be released in us. He just loves us. He just loves us. He just loves doing great things in us. And he's going to do it differently in each person as well, which is so great, isn't it? The way that he comes and meets with one person is going to be totally different to the other. And so some people are going to look at others and think, how did that happen? How did God speak in that way? And but it is totally us and him, and he's going to release that. Should we just stand? Let's pray. Father God, Father, thank you that you have created us so creatively. Thank you that each one of us has got your DNA. Thank you that each one of us has got the creativity that you have placed in us. And Jesus, we just want to release that today. I'll just repent. If you've said I'm not creative, if you've denied that creativity within you, just ask God to forgive you right now and to just determine that you're going to set your face forward again and to allow that creativity to be released. Oh, Father, thank you. I thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, we do just repent where we have denied that creativity, where we've held you back through fear, through anxiety, where we've held that creativity back through wanting to look good, through wanting to look just normal, really, and not to lose our reputations. Father, we want to see that creativity released in this body. Yes. We take hold of it today as a corporate body, and we say we are going to walk in the creativity that you have placed within us as a body. Yes. We are going to be the most creative body of people that the world has seen, that the world is going to come and is going to ask us for our ideas, for our wisdom, because they see that we are creative, that we are doing things in ways that have not been done before. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you'd come and you'd release that creative anointing on each one of us, for ourselves, for our families, for us as a church, for the community of Scarborough, that Scarborough will look and will see what the Lord has done. We'll look and see, this is different, this is amazing. And Father, that your kingdom is going to be established and extended through a people who are creative and will not hold back. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.